Well, we're going to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And I'd like to share on the subject of seeking God. The word seek means to seek after. I love it when the definition always uses the word, trying to figure out. To desire, to look for, to strive, to find. You know, it's a simple word that we use a lot, where you're looking for something that you haven't found yet. And I've always enjoyed seeing these animal shows on TV where they show, like they'll show a bear and how he's hunting for food, or show a lion how he's hunting for food, and they're really intent on getting whatever it is they're trying to get. And they're seeking after that food because they have a need, and their need is that they're hungry. And so they're going after it, and they utilize whatever natural abilities that are given them by God when he created this thing. I mean, whatever bears do to hunt, those natural abilities is what they use to get that food. And they seek after it. And in living life, we've all lived a pretty long time, even Tessa. To realize that we have needs that come up every day, and we're going to have needs every day till the Lord Jesus Christ comes or until we take our last breath. Every day we got needs. We get hungry, we need food. After that, we need a bathroom. We seek a bathroom. I was driving on the parkway yesterday, and this car up ahead of me stopped, and I saw this woman run up to the woods. She had a need of some sort. Usually don't see that in broad daylight, but so. But we get tired. We need strength. There's needs that come up every day. We get sick. We need healing. Our clothes get old or look funny. We seek after other clothes. We need shelter. So needs come up every day. Well, and so we seek for them. Now God also seeks, and I thought we'd look at this one scripture we're very familiar with, of God seeking, and that's John chapter 4, verse 23. It says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in truth and spirit and in truth." He's seeking for people to worship him in spirit and in truth. He's looking around, just like that bear looking around for food. He's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and truth. Let's go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. So God wants worship and he seeks for people. And that's what he wants. It's a need that he has. Now, since we all have needs, the question becomes, how do we meet those needs? What do we do to get those needs taken care of? And there are two ways to get needs taken care of. We can either go the way of the world as far as how the world says to get those needs taken care of, or we can go to God and get our needs taken care of based on what he says he will do. Like, we can't eat out of garbage cans. We would live if we were so hungry we said, "All right, I think I'll go behind McDonald's today." Bad enough going in McDonald's, but to go behind McDonald's is worse. But we could literally make it for a long time eating out of garbage cans. But is that really what God wants for our lives? Psalm 23, a great psalm. I'm sure you've all read it many times. Verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And the word "want" there is actually the word "lack." I shall not lack. And David, as the psalmist, knew that God, as his shepherd, would not allow him to be with lack. That God, as a shepherd, would so take care of his life, he had no lack. That's a great spot to be in. You have absolutely no lack. Doesn't mean you don't have needs. It just means those needs get taken care of. I wake up hungry every morning. And if I don't eat, then that need goes unmet. Now I've got a lack. 5 minutes later, I start doing something about it. I got to eat early. But God, it's not that we don't have needs, it's that God will take care of them, and then we have no lack. And that's quite a truth to recognize, that God will so take care of his people that you go without lack. You know, God says that the husband's supposed to so take care of his wife, she has no wrinkle or, what's the other one?
Spot
or blemish. I guess she does get wrinkles. It happens, but no need, which is quite wonderful. And then we know, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply half your need according to his riches and glory.
No, all.
That's quite a promise. Every need that we physically could come up with, or spiritually could come up with, or emotionally could come up with, they're all taken care of in Christ Jesus. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6. A great question, being it's a tremendous promise that God will take care of us. He will get it, keep us, or allow us to get to a point where there's no lack. Can you imagine living life and you've got no lack? We do live like that, and many, many times. No lack. Well, how does all this happen where God takes care of us so well? Of course, we know he possesses us and forces us to do what he wants us to do, and therefore it's quite easy. You just get on the track and it pushes you around. No, we know better. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. We're going to get a running start for this great scripture. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. The words take no thought is one Greek word that is the same word for anxious, often translated anxious. Be anxious. I mean, be not anguished for anxious. Sorry. If you're anguished. If you're anxious, you might have anguish. English. Anyway, I'm going to learn English. I told Sam my first language is speaking in tongues. English is my second language. That's why I stumble around. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Which means clothing. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, that's that same word, anxious, by getting anxious about something, or really revving up your brain over it, can add one cubit unto his stature? Can you really get any taller by getting all hepped up about something? Might be able to get thinner, but you're not going to get taller. Which of you, by taking thought or getting anxious, can add one cubit unto his stature? Verse 28, and why take ye thought? Why get anxious for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little believing? Wherefore, take no thought, again, don't be anxious, saying, well, what am I going to eat? Or what am I going to drink? Or wherewith shall I be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. And that's a great little line thrown in there. The reason why the Gentiles do that is that they don't have a God, or don't believe in a God, that is going to take care of them. So if it's going to get done, it's up to them. If they're going to get food, they got to go get it. There is no help from God because they don't acknowledge God. So therefore the Gentiles, that's how they seek after getting their needs taken care of. They got to get out on their own and figure it out and worry about it. But us, are God's people, they have a God. And that God does want to take care of. And therefore you don't have to be all anxious. God's going to take care of it. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But, and here's the key, as we know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seeking God first, and that's what God wants us to do. Even second isn't his will. You could have 100 things that you're seeking after to get this thing taken care of, and you could put God second, and you're still missing. God wants him first. We put him first, and this other stuff does come to pass. The things that he promised, it does come to pass. It never makes sense, maybe, from a financial point of view, that you give money, and God says, you'll have more after you gave than before. Isn't that wild how that works? Same thing with all the needs that we have in our lives. Pretty good, right? I'm improving. Okay, let's go to Psalm 27. I just thought it'd be nice to look at some of these truths concerning seeking. Do we seek for God's help in trying to take care of our, you know, get our needs met? Or do we look to our own selves or to the world or to the government or whatever? I mean, not that we know that money doesn't grow on trees. We know food grows on trees. But money doesn't. But I mean, we do have to do things, but it's always in light of what God's word says. Psalm 27, verse 4. It says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. And here it is. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. What a desire, huh? For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So God told this person to seek my face, you know, seek God's face, and that person in their heart said, I'm going to seek his face. Let's look at verse 15. Let's go to Psalm 34. Sorry. There is no 15 there, right? Psalm 34. Another great verse on seeking. Verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him and delivereth them. That poor man cried unto the Lord. He was seeking. He wasn't ignoring God. He was seeking. He had troubles, obviously. He had some needs. And then he sought God, and God was able to work with that individual. Now we're going to go to verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are upon or open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. Look at, there's an action there. The righteous cry, the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is close unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. See, God just doesn't force himself on us, as we know. He won't possess us. He won't force his will. His will's pretty good, none better, but he still won't force it. So if he won't force himself on us, and he won't force his goodness and his prosperity and his healing, how do we get it? We got to seek after it. We got to do what his word says. That's how we seek. We do what his word says. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 28. In Proverbs 2, I'm not going to read it, but the first 12 verses show the determination in seeking that God states he wants for receiving wisdom, to knowledge of wisdom. He talks about giving knowledge and this and that, and he says how You know, if you search her as for silver and for hid treasures, then you're going to get the knowledge of God and the understanding. It's with a seeking. And that's the intensity, that we just have to keep going to God and going to God and going to God. Chapter 28, verse 5 says, "Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understands all things." Evil men are people who really could give to anything's for the Lord. They don't believe in God. They don't want to know God. And their eyes are blinded. They're in the dark. And that's why it says they don't understand a thing. They don't understand judgment. But they that seek the Lord understands all things. Because as we seek God, we get enlightened. So I thought we'd just take a couple minutes and look at some records about needs that we have. Or could have. One would be seeking for protection. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 37. And there are all kinds of sections in the Bible that show what people did or didn't do when they sought God or didn't seek God. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 1. This is a great example of what to do. It's about Hezekiah, King Hezekiah. What had happened is a unbelieving King Nebuchadnezzar had come up to the city of Jerusalem, and they besieged it. You know, they camped out, and they were going to starve them out, which was the trick that they used to do. If they went around a city long enough, they could only last for so long. You couldn't get provisions and water and food or anything in and out of the city, and they'd starve them out. So that was going on. And Hezekiah had gone to God for help. In verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna and the scribe and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos." So Hezekiah, as the king, was aware of what was going on. He's sending information to a prophet. He's going the way of God. "And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to him. Reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left." So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, "Thus shall you say unto your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me." And as you read the record, you see that God did deliver that city with a big blast. The enemy heard this big noise, and they left. But he sought God. Chapter 38, and they did get the deliverance. This is Hezekiah on his deathbed, a little bit even more personal, seeking God. Verse 1, "And in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." That's not quite what you want to hear. If you know the prophet's coming to visit you and you're on your deathbed and you're thinking, "Oh, he's going to pray for me, I'm going to get ministered to, I'm going to get healed." He comes in and says, "Hey, get your act together because you're going to die." Not quite what you might want to be hearing. You know? So, that's what he hears. Verse 2, "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord." He's going to seek his God. "And said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord thy God, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. How about that? So he seeks Isaiah to beseech God to help the city stay from getting taken. Then he beseeches God for his life. Even though he was told, God said, hey, pack it up. Isn't that something? I mean, revelation given once isn't established. Revelation given twice could be a different deal. But he was told, hey, this is going to happen to you. And he sought God, and things got changed. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to see what not to do. Same circumstances. Both believers. Both kings. Both people who love God, walk for God in their lives at different times. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Dealing with seeking protection and healing. Chapter 16, I'm almost there. And we're going to look at starting in verse 1. And in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha king of Israel came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come into Asa king of Judah. So they're being besieged. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and out of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon and Dan and whatever, and all the storage cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah, and let his work cease. Then Asa, the king, took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, Ramah, and the timber thereof wherewith Baasha was building. And he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time, Hanai, the seer, which is a prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, well done. No. Says, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king Syria escaped at thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth. He didn't take that reproof and correction with too much excitement, too much meekness. He didn't say, you know, I looked at God at one time, now I didn't, and I'm wrong, and then go ask for forgiveness. Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing, and Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. So he didn't seek the Lord God at all. You know, there's great learning from this. We can try to take care of things ourselves, but if it's not the will of God, it might look like it got the right results. They did get, freed. But in God's sight, he didn't look to God, didn't seek God. It was wrong. But Hezekiah, he sought the Lord, and God did whatever it was he was going to do. And then Interesting. Verse 12, it says, "And Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians." You know, he got something wrong with his feet. It got a little worse, a little worse, a little worse, a little worse. And all that time it kept getting worse and worse and worse to the end that he died of it. He never said in his heart, "God, I need healing." He never sought God. So God wasn't able to help him. Let's look at a little record in 2 Kings. We're not too far from it. Back a few pages. 2 Kings chapter 4. See, we want to seek God. We want to seek God. You know, Jesus Christ sought God for wisdom, like that time they brought the woman they caught in adultery, and he said, you know, "Moses says this, what do you say?" And he had to stop and ask God for wisdom and how to answer correctly. You know, we just keep going to God. The world always will have options, but we don't want to take them. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Here's a little example of, you know, financial help. Not that anybody ever needs that in today's day and time. But, you know, you could have... We all have need of financial help at times. And we can do the math on all stuff and say, well, it's going to work or it's not going to work, whatever. But if we seek God and allow Him to help in the circumstances, gosh, the things that could happen. One thing we know, if we seek God, we're not going to get in worse shape. We're not. Can't. He wouldn't allow us. If He's shepherding us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Those needs get taken care of. So here's a little record, and it's just a great truth and learning here. Verse 1, it says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets." These were men that were learning, being trained. Chapter 4, verse 1. These were men that were being trained to, like in leadership positions, they were being trained in the scriptures and taught how to lead spiritually. And this was a wife of one of these guys. Prophets unto Elijah, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." So back in that culture, if you owed money, they didn't just keep a tally of what you owed them. They took what they wanted. Wow. And here they're going to take her two sons. We're going to take your boys. They'll make money for us. "And Elijah said unto her, Well, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said," this is a he said, she said, "and then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few," which means borrow a lot of them. "And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and said, "This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'm going to borrow vessels, I'm going to take my one pot, pour the oil in that one." And then what do I do? It's a stupid thing to do from a five senses point of view. The smart thing is she sought God. Who's she going to seek? She sought the man that was helping her husband and teaching and walking with God. And she was smart enough to say, "I'm going to go to that man of God and say, you know, I owe a lot of money and they're going to take my boys." And he gets involved and God shows him, ask her what she's got. She's got one thing, a pot of oil. What if she had a cruise of meal? Or what if she had... What it really wouldn't matter to God what she had. She had something. That's all that matters. She had something that that God could multiply that had value. So she didn't say, that's a stupid idea. It doesn't sound really smart, 5 census wives. But verse 5, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought this the vessels to her. And she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. So not just enough to pay the debt, but enough to live on beyond that without being in debt. How cool is that? The thrill in her heart pouring that first bit. And it fills, and she's still got some in her pot. She does it to another one. Fills, still has some in her pot. I mean, she's not a stupid woman. If it's the 1 gallon jug and she's got a quart of oil, you know what's going to happen 5 census wise. The whole quart's going to go in there. The gallon's only going to be 1/4 full. But it filled all the way to the top. Somewhere along the line, she must have been like ecstatic what was going on. And then she asks, okay, they're all full. What do I do now? And he gives her the answer. But she went to God. She sought help financially, and that defies all financial 5 census counsel. I don't think Anthony would tell us, okay, go get your, unless God told him to, Anthony DiGregorio. I knew a believer, I think it happened to him about 30 years ago, lived in New Jersey. He had a concrete business. And they fell into hard times, owed a lot of money, didn't have anything left, and he was praying for something to do. And he lived by, some of you know him, Mike Puskar. I don't know if you remember Mike Puskar, but he lived in New Brunswick, and he saw that there was a job that needed to be done for Johnson & Johnson. And they bid the job. And they got the job, and he bid it based on their specifications of what they wanted and how to do it. And it was an expensive process. So Johnson & Johnson wanted this work done as fast as possible, because whatever it was a plant, and they were redoing the inside. And if it doesn't get done, they're not going to be able to do whatever they're making. So the guy, when they first start, says, hey, if you got any other way of doing this, it's a lot faster. You do what you want, but you're still going to get paid the full amount. So he and his partner started praying. God showed him how to do it faster. Instead of what was supposed to be months, it took him a week or two. And then the owner or the manager was so happy that this was done. He said, I'm walking this paycheck through every department, and walked it through, got their pay in like a day or two, which would normally take weeks or months or whatever. And so he made a couple hundred thousand in a couple weeks.
Wow.
And paid off all his debt for both of them. Boom. And he said, only because the guy said, hey, if you know any other way of doing it, it's faster. we're gonna go with it. So it happens, but they sought God. Mm-hmm. If we seek our own ways like Asa did, yeah, you can get some results. The guy left, so he got left, but still died with a foot disease. So anyway, we just keep seeking God and allowing him to take care of us. It's just a great way to go. And the world's always banging at us to try another way. Always. So.